It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker, and it's time for Ask Ross. We're going to be sending out a KSN polo shirt for the best question. Ross, are you ready? Let's get started. All right.
I am ready. Let's do it.
All right. First one comes from Jerry in Arlington. Jerry says, last year, Will Fry struggled against Ohio State and Memphis in particular. Was it just he was playing much superior talent, or does he have some mechanical flaws in his execution that possibly can be corrected?
Good question. I think he's got the physical ability. I think he just at times his technique leaves something to be desired. And I'd also say, I thought it was interesting, you know, just reading some of the quotes from new offensive line coach Phil Troutwine. It doesn't seem like it's a done deal, Jim, that, you know, he definitely has hit that spot at right tackle. You know, you get the sense that they're going to really let Des Holmes and Caden Wallace compete with him for that job. And I think that's probably fair. I mean, those are Des Holmes did a nice job with his opportunities last year. Caden Wallace was a big time prospect coming out, played in the Army Bowl. I met him there and broadcast it. And so while my guess is that Fries will still win that job, I do think it's fair to open it up and to give these other guys an opportunity. But like I said, I think Fries has the physical ability. You know, we've seen it with the way he moves, with his length, et cetera. But he does not have the consistency of technique that you would expect of a guy that's played as much football as he has and gotten to this point. I haven't seen him progress the way like Michael Mennett has progressed at center. And you never know the reason for that, right? I mean, some guys are just more naturally able to improve and improve their technique. And other guys, maybe despite how much they work on it, never get it quite there. I can tell you this, Jim. I never got my technique in one-on-one pass protection where I wanted it to be. Never. Now, I think part of it was I didn't have very long arms and maybe I didn't have the best feet. But even my technique never got where I wanted it to be, no matter how much I worked on it. I don't know why. I wasn't able to always take it to the field. So I think that might be part of the case for Will Fries.
That's interesting. And I'm not being facetious here. I think of you, you know, very smart guy. I would think technique would be something you would be able to master, maybe overcome what you lacked physically with technique. So that's pretty interesting to me. All right. Let's stay with the offensive line kind of questions. This comes from James from Revere, Massachusetts. James says, can each individual member of an offensive line use their own technique, or is it better for all members to use the same technique? This kind of falls into, we've been talking about the new coach on the offensive line and maybe teaching things different. Is there any reason why different members can't use different techniques?
That is a great question. And the answer is different members can use different individual techniques, but they need to be on the same page when working together, you know, in concert, right? So you can't do your own thing when you're on a double team block, right? You both need to have the same, you know, hip to hip, shoulder to shoulder. You both need to be striking the same way. And that's when double teams are most effective. I have seen usually coaches have individual techniques that they believe strongly in, that they coach, that they espouse, and that they want all the guys to use. especially in college, right? You get to the NFL, and I think the bad coaches want everybody to do it the same way. The good coaches realize what might work for the 6'8 guy isn't necessarily going to be what's best for the 6'2 guy, or what might work for the guy with great feet isn't going to be what's best for this guy. And they do work within, you know, your physical specifications and what you're most comfortable with. I will tell you, Jim, that, look, let me just say this, okay? And I don't know why. I guess it's because it's a second offensive line question. I try not to talk about my career that often, right? I retired 2008, so 12 years ago. I wasn't really a great player. Most people don't care, okay? But what I would tell you is first of all, I'm very proud of my career. And secondly, I think if I had stayed healthy and had stayed with one offensive line coach, I think I could have had a 10-plus year career, and I think I could have started a lot of those years. You know, instead, I started 25 games over 7 years. But, you know, you take the injury part of it aside, right? Take the injury part of it, because when I hurt my back, everything kind of changed after that. But I had 9 offensive line coaches, Jim, in 7 years.
Wow.
That's really hard to do. Do the math.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's hard to do, number one. But number two, I mentioned that because every one of them had their own techniques that they believed in. And so as a guy that was always either battling for a starting spot or just battling for a spot on the team, what I did every time was try to master their technique the way they wanted it done as best as possible. Because no matter what they say, right, they want you to do it their way. And so for me, if I'm able to go out there and I'm able to play and have success doing it their way, they're going to like me a lot more than if I'm doing it my own way. So I would try every time to master the new coach's techniques. But you know what happens? I ended up becoming a jack of all trades, master of none. And it's part of the reason why I never got my technique where I wanted it to, is because I was so often learning a new technique. One of the reasons why any person in life, I'd say, but any player, any position gets better at something is continuity. And continuing to rep over and over again the same skill, the muscle memory. And unfortunately, you know, that wasn't the case for me, both because I would get cut or traded or whatever, but also, you know, the coaches on my team would get fired and they bring in a new offensive line coach. And so it made it very, very difficult. So that was a little bit of a tangent from the question, but it's a good question. And the answer is they absolutely should be able to have their own individual techniques. I think an offensive line coach's job is to get the most out of each one of his guys, not make all of the guys do it his way.
Gotcha. And I'm going to speak for the listeners and for myself. Anytime you want to talk about your career, that's okay. That gives us an insight into the game that we wouldn't otherwise have, Ross. So never a problem hearing about that. All right. Andy from Falls Church says, if there's no fans in the stadium this fall, what happens to home field advantage? If it's normally about 3-point advantage, what would it be in an empty stadium?
It's another terrific question. I think back to back. I mean, the Fries question was fine, but these two questions back to back are really good. I don't have an answer for that. You know, I do have a sports betting podcast. It's the Even Money podcast. So I'm going to actually ask my co-host on that podcast is a guy named Steve Fezzik, who's a professional handicapper, right? So I can ask him that. It's certainly not going to be 3 points, because the primary advantage to playing at home is the noise, is the crowd. I do think, though, there's still some value in you knowing the field conditions, because you practice on them or you're there, and also not having to travel. You know, when you travel, you know, it promotes swelling. You're up in the air. So if you got guys that are a little bit banged up, maybe their knee swells a little bit. Plus, it's just a more onerous routine. Whereas if you're home, you know, you're home and you go to the hotel and you don't have to travel. So I'm going to guess, Jim, that it's about a point. I'm going to guess that it's about a point. Maybe some places it's half a point. Maybe some places it's a point and a half, depending on how hard it is to travel there. I know that used to be the case with Penn State. People hated it. They had to fly to Harrisburg and drive up. But I'm going to guess it's about a point if there's no home crowd. But then, look, I think like the whiteout game, I think that's more than 3 points, right? I think the whiteout game is four and a half points. That atmosphere is ridiculous. And I think Penn State's performance in those games has borne that out. So in that instance, I think it's a huge difference. But I'm going to say about a point, maybe point and a half.
Tell you what, you beat me to the punch on the whiteout, because I would have actually said I think it's worth at least 7 points. I really do. All right, this is Rob from Columbus, Georgia. Ross, there's been a lot of observation that kids don't have home access to top-end weight training equipment. What are your thoughts that can isometric stuff keep a guy fit, or is this going to be a real problem?
I think so. I am more of a believer in the isometric stuff, or even just that's like bands and stuff like that, or even just body weight stuff than other people are. I think you can do plenty of things with body weight, plenty of things, you know, with sort of like, strongman stuff, right? Like pushing a car or lifting big rocks or whatever it is. I think sometimes those workouts are better and keep you healthier. And honestly, you'd be amazed when you get to the NFL level how little weightlifting some of the guys do, especially as you're getting closer to the season. It becomes a lot more about conditioning, a lot more about technique work, and the actual lifting part of it, heavy weights, isn't as big of a deal. So I just think all that's a little bit overrated. I think if these guys are doing a lot of position specific drills and a lot of body weight stuff, I think they'll be fine. I mean, maybe some of them will lose a little bit of weight, but maybe they'll find out that they're actually better if they lose a little bit of weight, that they actually play better and move faster. Cause I think a lot of your power actually comes from your technique anyway. Man, all good questions.
We'll announce our winner in quarter number four when Bob and Andy rejoin me, and we're going to be talking about those redshirt freshmen, and we're going to rank them.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
This is Jim Galante with the Keystone Sports Network. We know there are a lot more important things going on than whether there are any sports. But we'd like to give you a little break from everything else happening in our world with some Penn State football talk. College football will come back. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the Keystone Kickoff Show. Find all our shows at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the app Keystone Sports. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.